We are thankful that there are visitors with us tonight. Don't forget the Honduras spaghetti sale. I think it's next Sunday. So you have, is it next Sunday or the Sunday after? Next Sunday, 21st, right, Brother Paul? And if you don't like spaghetti and you just want to help, that's fine too. We appreciate it. It'd be a blessing. Help us to raise a little bit more funds to be able to get down on that mission trip. We'll be leaving March 17th, going down to see Brother Chase, Brother Hector, visiting with the churches down there. So if you can help us with that, it'd be a blessing. Also, the men's retreats, they're up. The information for the men's retreats, the one in February and the one in April, there's information there on both of those. If you can go to both, it'd be a blessing. If you can only make one, the one in February is in Georgia. The one in April is down in Tampa area. And then the ladies' retreat down in near Jupiter. I forget the name of that town. Was it West Palm? Down that way. Brother Fuentes. That sheet is up. It's over there. Sign up for that. And then there's a sheet for the men's prayer breakfast coming up the end of the month. Brother Hector's got up over there. Sign up on that one. What else do we have over there? That's it? That covers it all? I think it covers it. It's completely full. Whole bulletin board's full. So sign up on something over there. If you don't want to sign up over there, I've got one that you can give your car away. And you sign up here. We'll sell it. No, sign up there. I don't think there's no signs up over there. Be in prayer for Brother Ray. Brother Ray's going up this week up to Tennessee with the family. Sister Donna's body will be headed up that way here shortly, and then he'll be doing part of the funeral. Him and Brother Ray, that's your son, doing the other part. And then their pastor from up there will be doing the other part. So be in prayer for Brother Ray. That's Wednesday, the actual funeral, right? Thursday. Visitation's Wednesday, Thursday. And don't forget the Ham Brown family with the funeral here on Wednesday at 11 o'clock here at the church, 11 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the visitation that is Tuesday night over Conrad Thompson down in Kissimmee, down there. So a lot to pray about, a lot to have before us, you know. It's a difficult time for some families, but good to know your loved one is with Jesus when they go on to heaven. So we're praying for you, Brother Ray. If you need anything, let us know. Okay, before I get started here in a minute, I want to talk with the church just a tad bit. Tomorrow morning, I'm going again up to Canada. I'll leave tomorrow and go meet with the group of people up there, that group of 17 folks that are meeting a church up in Brandon, Manitoba area. I'll be with them till Friday. I'll be back on Friday. We need to be praying as a church because they have asked if we would consider having them be under our authority till they find a pastor and plant a church up there. I've talked to the pastor of the church that left. His name's Brother Parks. Brother Parks just took over the pastor. You know, Brother Reeves was the pastor for 30-some-odd years, and when he passed away, they did not have anybody in ready to step into his stead. And so then you have a sort of a ugliness that happened. I don't know any better way to put it. Old arguments and fights and things of that nature begin to come up. Then they thought it was best that the former pastor's wife, Miss Reeves, she stayed as a member, very gentle lady. They thought it best for her to leave. I don't know what they thought that was going to do, but 15 other people said, no, it's not right that she has to go. And they said, well, you can go too. So they chose to go as well. Brother Park said that there was hurt and harm done by both sides, but he thinks it's probably best. He's the new pastor at Bible Baptist. He thinks it's best that group just stay away and start their own church because they're not going to get right. either side. It's an ugly situation. It is. They're not under church discipline. Brother Parks told me, said, no. We just told them this is the opportunity that if you want to leave, if this is the best time to leave and go elsewhere. Well, and Brandon Manitoba, there's no elsewhere. So they have been meeting a whole Bible study. They've been watching our videos online. Every night, every Sunday morning, they'd watch our videos. And on Wednesdays, they'd hold their own Bible study. One of the men would do it. So be in prayer about this situation. And I'm going up and I'm going to meet again face to face with Brother Parks and see if I can get any information. But he's already told me over the phone that he thinks that it's not going to work out for him. So nothing Miss Reeves did. It's just, I guess, it's just time for what some of them thought was time for her to move on. I'm so glad to see that Eastern Avenue has been good to Miss Rigsby. Miss Rigsby passed away. I hope, church, that I know we've only been here a little under 10 years, but I do hope that if I was to pass away, and it could happen, that you would treat my wife well. Certainly not as the pastor's wife, but you would be kind to her if she chose to stay here as a member, because she is a member of the church. It's a difficult situation for those people. So be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for wisdom, direction. I told them that I'd come and meet again with them, talk with them, and see what the Lord will lead our church to do. And I said, Pastor, we're a long ways away. I know, but God's near to everybody. We'll do what God wants us to do, I'm sure. But can't do that if we're not praying. We as a church have to pray. Soak this and bathe it in prayer. So we can get the answer God wants from us. If you know of anybody that needs that's looking to pastor, let me know so we can put them in contact. You know, God works in mysterious ways. He really does. I never thought I'd leave Greece. Thought I was there to die. And God shut the doors there, would not allow me to get a full-time visa, and here I am. Look forward to being here the rest of my life. But that, we'll leave that into God's hands and see how that works out. And, it's got to be God's plans. It does. All right. Mark chapter 15. We're in verse 24 tonight. Mark chapter 15, verse 24. Let's read down to 32. Lord willing, we'll get that for tonight. Mark chapter 15, verse 24. The Bible says, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, whatever man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the scription on his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scriptures were fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. The third hour, that's approximately around the 9 a.m. of the day. They started, the Jewish hour started at 6 o'clock in the evening. 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then on the 4th, ours, you know, starts at midnight, goes around. Their little calendar's a little different. Their clock's a little bit different as they run through the things there. But this was about 9 a.m. During that time. We begin reading there in verse 24, when they had crucified him, they parted his garments. If you would, look over at Matthew 27:35 as well. Matthew 27, verse number 35. We have Matthew's version of this here, then we'll flip over to Psalms 22:18 here in a moment. Matthew 27, verse 35, the Bible says, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." If you go over to Psalms 22:8, Psalms chapter 22, you'll find the prophecy there in the book of Psalms about this. It just goes to show you the evils of gambling. These folks got so that they gambled for the clothes of the Lord Jesus as he hung there on the cross. Matthew chapter 22:18. It's better for you to go get a job and go down there and get you a scratch off. I promise you that. Psalms 22:18. The Bible says, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." So as you begin this portion, remember they had scourged him. They put a purple garment upon him last week, and then they took that off of him. Back over in Mark, if you'd go back over there. And keep something marked there, because we'll be back into Mark, back and forth, since we're following through those verses there. They took that purple off and then put his own clothes back upon him. And here we read tonight in verse number 24 that they began to cast lots, towards who would get the piece of his clothing there. And take it with them, and it'd be theirs around the third hour. And then you notice there in verse number 25 tells us that. And the next verse talks about verse 26. And the subscription of the accusation was written over the king of the Jews. So above his head there, above on the cross, they would put the accusation, what the person had done. The thieves on the one hand, on the other hand. Would have had the same thing in there. So people would come by and say, "This person's being put to death for this." Isn't that a strange accusation? King of the Jews, he is the one. We're killing him because he is king of the Jews. And you know, as we've studied through the book of Mark and we looked at it and studied the chapters and verses, remember he said to them when they brought the coin, trying to trick him up, about taxes and paying tribute. They said, "Let me see the coin. Whose name? Who's on the subscription?" It was Caesar. He said, "Render unto Caesar things of Caesar, things of God." He was not trying to be some earthly king. He was at this point coming to be the Lamb of God, going to the cross of Calvary, that he might take upon him the sins of the world and pay the sin debt, so that we that trust in him might be saved. Each one that comes to him by faith and trust him as their personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, our accusation would not have been king, it would have been chiefest of sinners, like Paul wrote. And if you go to Matthew 27:37, you'll notice there, Matthew 27:37. The Bible says, "And they sit up over his head, his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" And if you would, go over to John chapter 19, verse 19. John chapter 19, verse number 19. The
Bible says in John 19:19, then, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And Bible critics say, ah-ha-ha, you see there, there's a mistake. There's three different verses, and they say three different things. Mark 15:26 says, King of the Jews, the King of the Jews. Matthew 27:37, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. John 19:19 says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. There is a discrepancy in your word, in the Bible. And they find little peaks and pokes. Brother Hector, in Spanish, say this. How are you doing?
What's that?
How many words did I use? How are you doing? How many words did he use? Say it again. And that's two words? All right. Look at Luke chapter 23. So when the critics begin to question the Word of God and they throw about vain babblings and accusations, you can take them over here and you can show them Luke 23. There is no error in God's Word. That's why he says to study to show yourself approved. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Luke 23:38. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of what? Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. There's no mistake in the Word of God. It was written in three different languages, and three different men saw it. Three different men chose which one ever they wanted to write and on there, but all three of them are correct as you go. Mark 15:26 would have been there. Matthew 27:37 would have been probably in another language, just like what the example I just told you there. Lisa, how do you say, how are you doing in German? How many words is that? Four. Look at there. Just how it works. And just each language uses different structures, different words, different ways, and they put it, but it all is saying the same thing. So don't let someone take and find little bitty things like that in there and throw you off, because that is the wiles of the devil. It's been that way since Genesis. He has tried to throw a darkness upon the Word of God and trying to bring doubt upon the Word. Yea, hath God said. The answer should have been yes. Because when God says it, it's settled. When it's here in this book and we read it through the Bible, this is an absolute book. There's no maybe so, hoping so, okay, it could be. Because if there's one error that can be found in the Word of God, dear friend, it discredits the entirety. It discredits the entirety. And you find folks that say, well, in the originals, this should not have been here. But they never have an original. Listen, God wrote it. He preserved it. He gave it to us. And it is absolute. Don't allow folks to come about and try to discredit the Word of God and throw doubt into your mind. Look in verse 27 back over in Mark. Mark chapter 27. We don't need to get back into the point in time of the book of Judges where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. We need an absolute compass, a moral compass. We need to know that it's a narrow path. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. Wide is that path that leads to destruction. But dear friend, the Word of God is without error, without fault, and it is there to help and to guide, to direct us, and it is for today. Don't allow folks to tell you that that's an archaic book and it does not mean anything today, and then want to fall back on John 3:16 and act like they're saved. How can you fall back on John 3:16 if the rest of the book is archaic? Fall on John 3:16, for whosoever believed in him should not perish. Fall on it. But it's just as true as the rest of it. The rest of it there. Mark chapter number 15, verse 27. The Bible says there in verse 27 and verse 28, and with him they crucified two thieves, and one on his right hand and the other on his left, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. Look with me over in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And verse 12. Isaiah chapter 53. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Look at the Word of God, you begin to see it, you begin to study it, and look out the Scriptures, you begin to see that it's a fulfillment, one right after another, one right after another. The way Jesus died, the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, the way he was buried and rose again the third day, it is all important. Every bit of it is important. It is proof of his deity. It's proof that he is God manifest in the flesh, and that he cannot lie. He cannot lie. And as we look and we study and we go through it, the way he died, I mean, a shameful death. It had a purpose behind it, because how many of you, think about this, how many of you before you got saved said there is no way that a pure and a holy and a righteous God could understand me, such a sinner? Could understand me in the way he can. Because he took our sins upon him. It was so that he could be understanding. It was so that he could know the trials, the difficulties, the heartache, the loneliness. How many of you ever said that? I'm so lonely, I don't have nobody. It was a point where everybody rejected. I mean, just turned to God himself, turned his back and forsook him. He understands loneliness. Even before that point, whenever he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was the disciples that was with him. One of them betrayed him. Then he said, he had asked him a little bit before that. He said, when all the disciples had fled except the 12, there were just 12 left. He said, will you leave me too? And Peter said, Lord, where will we go? Well, when he got down and dirty, whenever they came to take him, where did they go? They left him alone as well. Have you ever said this? I'm just so tired. I cannot take another step. Jesus was there. You remember carrying that cross? As we read, we get down to that point. He was tired. He fell under the weight of that cross. And the guard says, you come take the cross. He was tired. He slept. You remember he was in the bottom of the boat asleep when the great storm was going on. He was tired. He slept. Because I'm just tired. I can't go another step. I can't go. I can't make another trip down this road. I'm tired. He was tired. He hungered. You remember the day he went by? Have you ever gone home and you've been thinking about something, wanting something? You that have teenagers still at home, you know what I'm thinking about. You know there's something in that cabinet that's been there, and you open up that cabinet and it's gone. Oh no, an empty box in there. What's this doing in here? Because they devoured. Remember him walking through there and there was that fig tree? Wanting a fig? Wasn't a fig on it. He knows that feeling. He knows it. Why did that happen? Because he wanted us to know that he is a Savior that can understand who we are, where we are, and what we are. He knows. Psalms 22, verse number 6. Psalm chapter 22, verse number 6. Your children may not understand you. Your spouse may not understand you. Your pastor may not understand you. Dear friend, God understands you. 22. It baffles my mind when I hear people say they're... I talked to a young man today, and he's not going back to church. He's out of church. He's done. Some things happened between him and his wife, and he's not going back to church. And I'm just like, well, what did God do? Baffles my mind when I hear people mad at God when they go through something. They just go running as far as they can, as if God is to blame for sin. God paid the price for sin. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Run to Him. Well, I'm embarrassed. You think He wasn't embarrassed for us hanging on that cross naked while they gambled down there, casting lots as a way of gambling? As they cast lots for his garments, He stood naked upon, as people glared and stared upon Him. You think He wasn't embarrassed? The Creator of all things? He knows embarrassment, dear friend. He knows shame. He does. We'll read here in a minute in Isaiah. You'll see again over in Isaiah 53. But Psalms 22, verse 6, look what it says. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of people. This is a prophecy of Jesus. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shout out the lip. They shake the head saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighteth in Him. Look over in Isaiah 53 again. Isaiah 53:3. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Listen to what it says. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, listen, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Go back over to Mark. You see why this is written, why He went through that? Because it was told of in the Old Testament, was prophesied that this would how it was going to be, and that's exactly how it was. Back over in Mark, and the Bible says there, as these religious folks began to pass by, verse 29, and they passed by, railed on Him, wagging their heads, saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. This is amazing how these religious people, people who knew the Old Testament, I mean, they were a group of people, the Pharisees, and God threw in there, He said, and the scribes, with the scribes there in verse number 31. With, you know, the job of the scribes was to scribe down the Word of God? They had written these very words in Psalms 22, 6 through 8, Isaiah 53, 3. They had written them down and scribed them and wrote them down. The Pharisees had learned and memorized and hid in their minds the Old Testament books of the Bible, but it was hid in their minds and their hearts were still yet wicked. You know, He's told us, you old generation of vipers is what Jesus called you, as white as sepulchers. What was He saying? It's on the inside is what matters, not the outside, not the glorious clothes and the phylacteries and the best seats in the house. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made. And they railed upon Him. Why did they do such? Because it was written in the Old Testament that they must. so that we would know we have an understanding. Savior, all of this here, you know, holier than thou statements that you hear, oh, she's a holy roller, he's a Christian, he can't do that. You know why? You know why Jesus went through what he went through? So you would know you didn't go through it alone. He did it for us. He did it so that we have the ability to look back at Scripture and see, what a Savior. What a Savior. Why didn't he come down off the cross? How many of you, and be honest with yourself, don't be honest with me and make it public, but in your Christian walk, you have made a commitment, a covenant with God sometime or maybe many times. I can stand here and tell you guilty of many occasions where I have made a covenant with God and did not follow through. But you made a covenant and but see, Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation of the earth, he had agreed with God the Father that I will be the Lamb of God. He made a covenant. So why didn't he? Because his word. Go with me if you would over in Galatians chapter 3. He's a God of his word. Brother Miller down in Avon Park was preaching Tuesday over in Cocoa, and I was over there listening to Cocoa at Victory Baptist. We had a pastor's conference, and they were preaching and trying to encourage pastors to go along. Brother Avon Miller was preaching over there. He said, I read this. He said 30-some-odd years ago, he doesn't know who said, who wrote it, was marked as unknown or anonymous or something like that. But it said, this is what the quote said, based off of Romans chapter 7. It says, when you cannot do the good that you would, do the good that you can. Sometimes we take, well, I can't do that, so I don't do nothing. Do what you can. Do what you can. Why didn't Jesus come off the cross? Because he was a man of his word. He's a God that cannot lie. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That's what we deserve. He did it for us. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know why I didn't come off the cross? We had no hope of righteousness. We're as filthy rags. Our heart is wicked above all. Who could know it? I mean, just wicked. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. What those religious people kept saying, come down, save yourself. You know why I didn't? For you, for me. We'd have no hope. You understand? He would still have been Jesus, and we'd have been lost for eternity. Peter came down. He did it for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's why I didn't come off the cross. We had no hope without it. None whatsoever. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 53. He chose not to come off the cross. He chose not to save himself from the wrath of man. Isn't it amazing that the creature was trying to put himself above the Creator even then? Not so, because we have that tendency sometimes ourselves, even now. And the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. Many times we put ourselves before God and His plan for our life. Matthew 26, verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Listen to what 54 says. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? That's why He didn't save Himself. Kind of reminds you of Matthew chapter 4, doesn't it, Brother Jim? Y'all know the story of Matthew chapter 4 where he was led away of the Spirit to the wilderness? And he was tempted by who? Well, religious folks acting like the devil. I think in John, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." I think He had pegged them pretty good. It pegged them pretty good. These religious folks come to by wagging their head. They thought they were doing it out of spite. They thought they were throwing it in God's face. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. They did it because it was prophesied in Scripture that they would do it. Isn't that amazing? And yet He still stayed on the cross. Still stayed on the cross. Why? Because in look at Luke 19. Verse 10. All of these are familiar verses here that just weave itself together to show us why God does exactly what He does. John 19:10. Some of you probably can quote this. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What did it say in Matthew? That this must be. He had a purpose. This purpose was pay the sin debt for all mankind. Look at John chapter 12, verse 47. John 12, 47. John chapter 12 and verse number 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but save the world. He had a purpose. Oh, it's coming time, dear friend. That great white throne of judgment, He's going to judge. Right now, it's all about mercy and grace. He's not willing any should perish. That's why He stayed on that cross. That's why He stayed there. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're about done. About two more verses and we'll be done tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And all Paul said was, of whom I am chief. Last verse, look over at John 13. In verse number 1, John 13, 1. Gospel of John chapter 13, verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, listen to what it says, He loved them to the end. Those religious people passing by, wagging their head, pointing at him, the scribes, the Pharisees. You saved others, you that destroyed the temple. Come on now, save yourself. You know why he couldn't save himself? Because of you and because of me. That's why he couldn't. Could he? Oh yeah, dear friend. He could have. But he chose not to. For our sake. And for the sakes of mankind, for the sake of the world. And he loved them unto the end. Have you ever played that game as a child, maybe even as an adult with some of your older kids? I don't play it with my sons anymore because they try to, and I don't even like playing with my daughters anymore. Last time I did it, about 2 years ago, the game called Mercy. And you got to call, you got to make them say uncle. And you have to give up. We didn't near about go through what Jesus went through. He loved us unto the end. All the way to the end. That's just up till the third hour, the 9 a.m. They crucified. We hadn't even got to the sixth hour of the day yet. And this is all he's done for us. Wow, what a Savior. What an amazing Savior. Verse 33 starts the noon hour. And we'll pick up that next, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. Father, we love you. We thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your scriptures, for the word that is so presently needed in our lives. God, help us not to be neglectful of the book. Help us not to be neglectful of prayer. Help us not to be neglectful of our duties to you as a servant, as an ambassador, as a witness, a fisher of men. God, help us to love you with all of our heart so that we can learn to love men like we should. In Jesus' name, amen.